This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it is a snow day here in Maryland, and we are recording this in the afternoon. It is daylight. It is not 9 p.m., and we are not tired, you know, as we normally are, so we should sound a little bit more coherent than usual. I've got a hot cup of Tim Hortons hot chocolate ready here. Here we go. There's snow on the ground, hot chocolate, Tim Hortons. I feel so Canadian. And now we're going to talk about some puck. So joining me, as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. I kind of wish I had some hot chocolate. Maybe I'll go. I gotta go shovel first, and then I'll get some hot chocolate. Like just push the snow out of the way.
It's really not that bad of a snow.
This morning was dicey.
Eh.
My wife drove to work. She drives from Olney, Montgomery County, out to Edgewater, which is just south of Annapolis, about an hour every day. She said the roads are not bad out there, but in Montgomery County, they were pretty dicey. Side roads definitely bad. The ICC was bad for a while. Closing was, I don't know, but a two-hour delay definitely would have made sense. Closing, I was very surprised to.
Yeah, probably could have done a little bit. Probably could have done a delay, but not a full closing. But hey, I don't run the school systems, so good for you kids. Enjoy your day off. I had other stuff going on, which is why I'm off. But I was out there in the snow or whatever. But you know who's not in the snow is any Capitals players, because man, they have been. It is their break. I don't even. What do you call this? Is it a bye week? A winter break? I don't know. But a bunch of the Caps left DC after a great win in against Carolina, against the Hurricanes, and they all went to a much warmer climate, which I don't blame them. Good for them.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the time off and you have the opportunity to rest and sort of recharge your batteries, I see no reason why not to go ahead and take advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, Ovi's wife, I think they went down to Miami. It looked like, you know, very nice beaches. They were enjoying themselves, but she put out an Instagram story or video, or I don't know what they're called. I think they're Insta stories or something. But Ovi was, we all know Ovi pretty good at hockey, but this guy had a frisbee and he was boomeranging it. Like he was throwing it in the air at an angle so it would come directly back to him. It was insane.
Where did you see this?
This was from his wife's Instagram story. They're instant. Oh, so like after 24 hours, they're gone. They ripped it off of Snapchat. But yeah, it was wild what they were doing. And we saw Burakovsky hanging out with Devontae Smith-Pelly and Jakub Vrána. And Burakovsky was making fun of Jakub for all the food that he was eating on vacation. So yeah, these guys were living it up, and
he's a growing boy. Leave him alone.
He is a growing boy, but
he's like 12.
He definitely looks like it. You know, who knows? Maybe he lied when he said he could enter the draft, but we'll see. But since we talked last, two games back to back against Carolina, one in DC, one in Carolina, and the Caps came away 1-1. But man, that game on Friday night, I was on the road. So I was listening to the game, driving to the beach, listening to John Walton call the game, and what an ending to that game. That Jay Beagle goal, holy cow. I got to say, right now, my front runner for the What the Puckies at the end of the year goal of the year right there.
Oh, you're claiming it already?
I'm claiming it already.
It was good. I was home. I missed the first half of the first period, getting home from work, and then I was watching, and it was one of those ones where you're like, oh, we're going into overtime again. Of course we are. There's a part where the Caps just sort of shut down, let the Hurricanes back in the game, which is so typical of them. And then they were able to come away with a literal last-second goal from Jay Beagle off of a fantastic play by Backstrom and Ovechkin being involved in the play. Backstrom with the stick lift. Keep the puck in the offensive zone. They got it in front to Beagle. Goal. Was it Cam Ward net? It shows that this team will fight to the last minute and that maybe it doesn't matter who's out there because you have Backstrom, Ovechkin, and Beagle in one of those weird plays, but it worked out. And, you know, while it was great to see and great to get a last-minute win, especially against a team that is in your division and you want to keep points up on them, even if they are last in your division right now. But to look at the game as a whole and to see how poorly they played in letting Carolina back into the game at one point is a problem. It wasn't a great game. It was a great ending.
Yeah.
But not a great game overall.
Yeah, you know, it definitely shows that the Caps have some things to work on, even though they are atop the Metro. We talk about this every week. I mean, it's a broken record here. What the puck? They're atop the Metro. They're winning games, but they aren't winning them decisively. I think it's great that they did go the 60 minutes, didn't go into overtime against Carolina, because I want to say it was Brett Connolly after the game was talking to Ben Raby and said something like, look, they beat us last night. That was still fresh in our minds. We wanted to win this one. We wanted it to go not into overtime. We wanted to beat this team. And it was good to see that. It was good to hear that and good to see that in the game, that even though they didn't play their best hockey and it looked like they were going to overtime, they kept going. There has been, I mean, you talk about a couple years ago when it was Backe, Ovi, Semin, Mike Green. They were the young guns back, you know, probably 8-9 years ago at this point. But it was that the 1 minute warning till the end of the period would come on, and they would stop playing. So it's great to see that
we're almost on a break. We're going to get our Xbox.
Yeah, they're like, you know, we got 1 minute left. We can just go to overtime. No big deal, guys. But no, this one, yeah, they got stuff to work on. Yeah, they got to fix some things, but still, I'm very hopeful for this team because they're like, look, we want to win. It's time to win. Let's do this. And they were able to do it before overtime. So, I mean, that is great. That's a great win. Maybe not a great game, but a great win before this break, because it did give them something to be proud of while they had a couple days off.
I think that's a good way to put it. It's a good win, a great win, but not a great game overall. And it was another one of those games where they just sort of, they didn't check out per se, but they just they got dominated or just completely destroyed it. You know, it's one of those things that you worry about as a fan of this team, and you know, you can't do those things in the playoffs because these games matter so much more.
And what was it? I mean, what made them, was it because it was back-to-back nights that they were playing? What do you think made them a little bit sluggish and not really playing their best hockey the second night?
Some of it could be the excuse of that they were sluggish, but then you look at Carolina, they had the exact same thing because it was a home and home. So
that's true.
There's no real excuse for why they played that way. If another team steps up and it's a team like Carolina who's itching to get back into the playoffs and start putting points into the standings, and if you watch or if you allow them back into a game like that without pushing back yourselves, that's a problem. And it's going to be a problem going into the playoffs if a team does that, because just you know, you're not going to go up against some schlub team in the NHL. You're going against one of the top, 16 teams in the NHL, and you can't allow them the opportunity to just score a bunch of goals on you that quickly.
Now, let me ask you, so
I mean, again, I think it's a mental thing. See, I think to some extent.
We talked about that last week, too. The mentality of this team is that they have so much talent, and we know what this team can do, but it seems like they keep beating themselves up. You know, that's what we saw in the playoffs last year. It was a mental thing. We're up against the Penguins. We're going to lose. So hopefully with this type of win, knowing that, yeah, you can have a bad game but still come away with a W, hopefully that helps these guys wake up a little bit and realize, oh, we are good. You know, we can beat anybody. Yeah, you know, it won't be pretty, but we can beat them.
Yeah, that would be great. Get a little meant. And maybe that's some of the reason this bye week is – wait, Carolina games are for the bye. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the bye week can definitely help in terms of recharging the batteries. Maybe there's a little bit of not the bye week, because a distraction per se, but that they're looking ahead. So it's kind of, you know, you have a game coming up or a break coming up where, you know, you're looking forward to that. You just have to get through the thing you're doing now. So it could be just that they weren't focused, which is not good. It's not a good excuse when you're supposed to be a team that is dominant.
Yeah.
Or a very good team. I mean, you're first in your division. You're one of the top teams in the league. And the fact that you're unable to, or you think that you can just look past other teams is unacceptable.
Now, you might be bringing this up and around the NHL, so I might be jumping ahead a little bit. But
now, go ahead.
Carolina is coming under new management. We know that got approved last week. Carolina, when they were when the Caps were at Carolina, they showed some stuff on the boards, and the crowd was excited. What is the new management mean for the Carolina team? You know, Carolina's that they've had a cup before. Last couple of years have been a little dicey for them, not making the playoffs. But what does the new management mean for Carolina? Because if depending on what management does for them, it's going to affect the Capitals since they are in the same division.
It depends on the owner. You could have a guy who's coming in who's looking to make money off of it. And I don't know how you would in the NHL necessarily, but he's looking to make some money and it doesn't work out. Or it could be someone who comes in that really wants to win and really wants to, I don't know if it's give back, but really wants to develop something and build something. And so it really depends. I mean, you look at the Buffalo Sabres and they had an owner who ended up in prison. But then you have it. So team gets sold, new guy comes in, and they didn't really get that much better. I mean, the organization may be better standing, but, you know, it doesn't mean that the team is any that much better. So it really remains to be seen what will happen with the new ownership.
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued. They're a part of the Metro Division, so what does that mean for the Caps? You know, they might have some new competition. We kind of saw what happened when Winnipeg was a part of the Southeastern Division. What that meant for this team, and I mean, it definitely affected them going to Winnipeg so many times a year. But you know, we'll see down the road what happens. Now let's talk about something that actually came out today. The Stadium Series sweaters for the Capitals were released. Coach Dan and I have discussed this a little bit off air, and just to warn you, we have very different opinions. But I will let Coach Dan. I will let Coach Dan start this conversation out. So
it's gonna be quick, buddy. They suck.
You don't see. All right, what don't you like? Let's describe them for the listeners who maybe haven't seen them yet. It uses the big Caps logo, just says Caps with the three stars on it, and they're not rocking the red in these jerseys. They are rocking the navy blue for the majority of them. It has
doesn't have quite the same ring to it,
right? But let's see. So there's white shoulders, navy blue center part of the sweater, and the bottom is red, and there's a red stripe on the arms. You don't like them? Why not?
Cause they're ugly. No, the big red along the bottom of the jersey looks like a cummerbund.
I didn't see that before. That's a good point.
So that's terrible. It's number one. The red on the bottom and the white on top just looks awkward. Like, I feel like there should be more symmetry there.
Okay.
And it's just not the case. I just think it wasn't a bad idea. It looks like, you ever go on eBay looking for a Caps jersey and you find those like really crappy ones that like clearly aren't real?
Uh-huh. They're my favorites. I
mean, that's what this looks like. It looks like someone just like drew up a Caps jersey and this is what came out, because it just looks like crap. Like, I get what they're trying to do and they're making everything really big and like the Caps is really big, so Capitals, because the text is smaller and it's hard to see in a football stadium and that whole thing. And they want to make it better, more visibility for fans. Like, I get that, but I don't see that. You also want to have A, to look nice and classy, which would be great, but also to have a marketability afterwards. I mean, if you look at the Winter Classic jerseys that they had when they played in DC, I admit that I actually came around to those a little bit. I still didn't think they were great. I still think that they could have been better. I still think they should have gone with the classic reds. But they were okay. This just looks stupid. It looks like it was drawn by a kid. And no offense, children that may be listening, I'm sure you do a great job with your artwork, but this looks like crap. Now, what they could have done is if they wanted to have the white on top, that's fine. And then you can have the white at the bottom with the red stripe or two red stripes. Or, hey, if you want to actually do something cool, that red stripe on the bottom should look more like the DC flag kind of thing, with three stripes. And that actually would look kind of classy. Same thing with the arms.
Interesting.
Now we're getting better. And then you leave the blue alone on top. All right? So the jersey sucks. Helmet's fine. Who cares? Gloves, fine. The pants are interesting. The W on the side, it kind of reminds me of a basketball jersey or a basketball.
Yeah.
Uniform.
Well, they had to put a Washington Monument in there somewhere. They always like to hide. They always like to hide the monument, so that's where they did it on this one. It rips off the Winter Classic jersey.
Well, it also kind of rips off the Wizards logo in terms of the basketball one with the W, or the monument. But the fact that it's off to the side is what makes me think it's more like basketball shorts than hockey pants.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it was more on the front, but it's off to the side, which is kind of awkward. The socks are fine. It's just the jersey's just so like it looks like a how do I describe this? Like a demo. And then you or a starter page, and then you go in and actually start to like edit it and make it look better. And maybe it'll look better on the ice. But as of right now, you know, I'd rather go with the Winter DC Winter Classics than this. And you know, I didn't like those. But this is so bad. It does. It looks like a child. Like it looks like a ripoff eBay jersey.
So I'm going to differ from you. I love them. I think they're
well, you're wrong. The number on the back. Sorry, just to jump in. The number on the back, though, actually, I think is kind of clever. It's supposed to be like the DC, like city plan or whatever. That's actually kind of clever.
That's cool.
There's no three stripes, by the way.
What's that?
The Adidas thing. They always have their three stripes, but they don't have it here.
Is it not on his? It's not on the side of him, is it? Like under his armpit?
No, it doesn't look like it. So that's surprising. All right, go ahead. Give us your incorrect opinion.
Well, come on. Well, all right. So, like, the only thing I would really change is I would take the white off the shoulders. I've never been a fan of any hockey jersey. I mean, there are some out there that look good, but I don't like the different color shoulders with the rest of the jersey. So I would have just made them blue as well. I would have kept the red stripes on the sleeves. The red on the bottom doesn't bother me. The Caps logo, I don't dig the Caps logo because I don't like that it just says Caps. I understand that you want to be, you know, slick and cool and talk like the kids talk. But, you know, I would rather just say Capitals. I like the red on the white for the logo, though. I do like red lettering, white background. That makes it really pop against that dark navy blue. So I dig that. But I wish it would say Capitals instead of Caps. I guess since they're doing it in Annapolis, they don't want to have Washington, like, across the chest because they want it to be, you know, incorporating everyone. That's why the three stars are there, because they represent Maryland, D.C., Virginia. So that's why those three stars are there, plus it's on the D.C. flag. It would have been nice to have the three stars on the sleeve, like you said, with the DC flag. Maybe move those stars to the sleeve over top of the red bar on the sleeves. That would be kind of cool, but I don't know. I like them. It's very different than a Capitals jersey. I think the Capitals jerseys are due for a change because they have been pretty boring. They've been with the same jerseys since we've had Ovechkin on this team, which has been, what, 10 years now? So, I'm okay with this. This is different. I like it. I liked the Winter Classic jerseys a couple years ago. You know, everybody loves those third jerseys we had last year. We only had them for a year. So that really sucks. I could see this as a third jersey. I'm not.
Oh, God, no.
I could. I could.
No. You know? Terrible.
You know,
what are you doing? Don't give him ideas.
If take the third jersey from last year, the red with the multiple stars that are, no, like, you know,
the
retro.
The classic one that should be their jerseys, right, in their normal jerseys.
Right. Do that one as your main one. Do the original Winter Classic, which was a retro white jersey. Do that one as your away, and do this one as your alternate. I'd be fine with that. This is different. I like it. It's very bold. Look at the picture of Ovi as he's like, he's got his stick, like, kind of like sitting on his knees.
Wait, hold on, scroll down. Okay. That still looks like crap.
No, that looks like a cool jersey. It looks like the sleeves match the bottom of the jersey. That makes it look like a hockey jersey. I'm okay with it. I might buy one of these stadium jerseys, even if I don't go, because I do like them that much. I'm for it. And well, don't at me on Twitter. I don't care if you like them or not. I will. I'm not going to fight with you on the online, but I dig them. I think this is cool. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like a polo shirt by Nautica. That's what this kind of reminds me of. Like, it looks like Ovi is about to go on a really nice brunch on a boat. That's what these remind me of. And that's what you're going to do when you go to Annapolis.
That's true.
See, it all comes around. I'm fine with it.
I need Photoshop so I can actually edit the jersey to look how I think it should look, and then I'll show you how wrong you are. That's what I do. I don't have Photoshop on my computer.
Oh man, well I do. I pay $50 a month for it.
What?
Yeah.
Just like buy it.
What?
Why do you have to pay? You just buy it.
No, you don't buy software anymore. They don't even have software anymore. You rent it.
That doesn't make sense.
You lease it $50 a month.
$50 a month?
Yeah. If you'd like to help me pay for it, that's one of the programs I use to cut the show together. So if you'd like to help me pay for it, that's cool.
Well, this got awkward.
Yeah, it did. All right. So, all right.
That's harder than I thought to pull it to edit this thing.
All right. So Stadium Series sweaters, very decisive crowd. I think I'm in the minority who likes them. I dig them.
Don't. I think you were in the minority on the Stadium Series ones. Not the Stadium Series. That's what we're talking about. The
Winter Classic.
I
know.
I've already made them better, and all I'm using is paint.
I wow, you still have paint? Thought they discontinued paint.
Yeah, didn't they?
I don't know.
I think you're right. I think they did.
But I was even okay with the Sochi USA jerseys. I was okay with them. The ones this year,
like being wrong, that's the thing.
The ones this year, I will agree with everyone. Yes, terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Oh, the USA jerseys?
Yes.
Yeah, they're god ugly.
All around, even like Canada's jerseys, also terrible. You know what the NHL decided? They decided not to go to the Olympics because they're like, look, You guys gotta come to the Olympics. Look at these jerseys we have for them. They look like they're a BP logo. Aren't these great?
Our players are wearing them.
And they're like, ooh, not going now. All right. All right. So let's move off from our fashion files for What the Puck. And let's talk a little bit more about about what's going on in the hockey world. You sent me a tweet a couple days ago, and it said from The Athletic NHL, the Red Wings are going to be trade deadline sellers, and the biggest piece is defenseman Mike Green. Green Life 52, could he potentially be coming back to the Capitals? Coach Dan, what is he a fit for these new Capitals? They've changed a lot since he's been here. Would he be a good fit to come back? Are we in need of a Capital with that type of cap hit on defense? What's your thoughts on this?
Well, first you'd have to see what the cap hit would be like when you acquire him, because as you get further into the season, the cap hit becomes less for that particular season.
Okay.
And with him becoming an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, it's a hypothetical rental. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like, you always have the option to re-sign the guy, but who knows if you want to do that. I mean, he's 32? Wait, hold on. He turned 32 in October. So he's not the young guy driving under giant garage doors anymore, so we don't have to worry about that. But it's going to be a high cap it. I mean, he's coming off $6 million a year in terms of his cap it with Detroit, and I'd be curious as to what they would want and how much of the cap's farm system in terms they would want to lose to acquire someone like Mike Green. Now, Dan Rosen of NHL.com was talking about this and his mailbag, talking about the cap's bringing him back, and he could see the possibility of them doing that. He thinks that it's definitely an option that the Caps could probably use another veteran defenseman, that they could ease up the ice time. This is from, again, Dan Rosen, saying they could ease up the ice time of Brooks Orpik, who's averaging just over 20 minutes a game, as well as John Carlson, who is averaging about 26 minutes a game, and how much he could help on the power play, not necessarily the first unit, because that's Carlson's with the second unit. Now, the concern, he says, is that Green is right-handed shot, so he won't even play in their top four. He's not going to play over Carlson or Matt Niskanen, the other righties on the team, so he's likely to play on that third pairing. He compares it actually to acquiring Kevin Shattenkirk,
ugh,
which I get the point he's making. I don't necessarily agree with it because I don't think Green's the same type of player. Now, Mike Green's last year in D.C. Hang on, I'm going back to his career. So he last played in D.C. in 2014-2015. He may remember the system and how much it's similar between then and now, you know, would make a difference. It's been a number of years, so you'd have to remember or learn again. But it would be different than bringing in a guy who's never played under Trotz or never played under a similar system before. So there are benefits to bringing in Mike Green. The downside is, A, what it's going to cost and what will Detroit want in terms of in a package with draft picks. But I'm more concerned about prospect that they would be asking for in return and what the Capitals will be willing to give up for him, as well as what it would do for their cap. Because if you, my guess is based on the complete limited amount of cap space that they have, they're only going to be able to make like one move unless they move someone out. I like the idea of bringing in someone that can take ice time off of Orpik and some off of Carlson. I think Green is still a very good player. Will he want to come in and play third line minutes or third pairing minutes? I mean, I don't know. That's tough to say. I mean, it'll be nice people that were that have shirts and jerseys from Mike Green's day. Not that they can't wear them now, but they'll be able to wear them again. It'll be much easier. So I wouldn't totally be against it. I would just be a little surprised. You know, and Dan Rosen in his article or his mailbag also goes in the fact that the Caps could really just they could go after someone. They're more likely to go after someone who's a lefty if to play in the top four, or that they're, you know, likely to just stand with what they have. And he brings up the point that the Caps have never really had a lot of luck at the trade deadline in the past in terms of players they've brought in.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to bring up, too. I read that article as well, and I agree with everything that he wrote. Green would be playing third line minutes. He's a righty, so he's not going to go over the other right-handed players on here. If they can bring Green in at a third line price tag, sure, bring him in. As long as he knows he's not going to get the Mike Green minutes of old, that he is coming in as a new guy. However, the biggest part of that article I agree with is that the Caps have done stuff at the trade deadline and it has never worked out. Ever. Kevin Shattenkirk didn't work out. We know that. Martin Nerat didn't work out. I think that's that whole point has been beaten to death at this point that it didn't work out. Who was Jason Arnott? I thought that was going to work out.
Which, that worked out.
With Alex Semin. Didn't work out. Who worked out?
No, I think Arnott was a good acquisition.
He was yes, but he was late on in his career. He only left. He only stayed for the rest of the season, right? Like he really was a rental. Maybe.
But no, he came in, he was a veteran presence, which is what the team wanted. They wanted someone who's going to come in and you know, keep the guys focused. I think he actually was I really like that move.
All right, well, maybe they have one.
you get one, guys.
You guys got one. Well, he did improve Alex Semin's game. Well, I will give you that 100%. He did. But I don't know. I don't feel as if the Caps do very well at the trade deadline. I don't know if anyone really does well at the trade deadline. Like, it takes too long for players to get used to the system. Yeah, Mike Green, you know, he would be familiar with the guys. He might not be that well in the system anymore. His life has changed a lot. He's got kids and he's married and everything like that. He's not the DC bachelor he once was. So his attention is on other things. I don't know. I would love to see Mike
actually improve his game.
Yes, very true. Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know. Mike Green back in DC, it would be a welcome to have him back. He has a lot of great history here. But at the price tag he's at, I don't know. I don't think it would work, and I don't think he would get a lot of minutes. I think that actually might hurt his game more because it's more of like an ego punch almost.
Like you said, he's changed, so how much of that is going to be an ego thing for him in terms of playing less minutes?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think conversations will be had, and how far they go remains to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be great to have him back, but I don't see it happening. I would like the Caps to remain pretty quiet at the trade deadline.
No, they need a defenseman.
It'd be good to have.
They definitely need a defenseman.
Brooks Orpik not play 20 minutes a game, but I don't think it's worth the risk because I don't think that anyone is going to get used to Trotz's system in that short of a time. If you make a trade
actually more of a point to bring in Mike Green.
If you make a trade now, fine. You do it, you know, closer to April. The closer you get to April, the worse the player's going to do after he gets here.
Hypothetically, that's true. I think you bring in a guy who's not going to play. You don't want a guy necessarily. I don't agree with Rosen that you play top. Well, wait, what's their top four pairing right now? Juice, Carlson, Niskanen.
Bowie?
Who am I forgetting?
Bowie?
Idiot. No, not Bowie. Isn't Bowie playing with Orpik?
Yes, he is. Orlov?
Oh, my God. Oh, Orlov. Jesus Christ. So you don't I don't agree with Rosen in the fact that the Caps, I'm sure they would love to have a top four guy, and maybe you move Juice down. I don't think that's necessarily what you need. I think Juice has played fine, you know, doing actually quite well, especially with Carlson. I think you go out and you acquire a third pairing left-handed defenseman or Mike Green, and you have them play. You give him more minutes, and maybe Bowie's not playing as much. And I think it's better for the team overall. And if he's a third pairing defenseman, you're not putting him in this high risk situation, especially in the playoffs. And Green is a guy who could step up into the top four on defense should someone get hurt. I mean, I'm in favor of acquiring Mike Green. I'm concerned as to what it will cost and what it could do to the team in the future. I'm not willing to give up any of our top prospects for him, or really any defenseman, unless this defenseman is someone who's locked down for a number of years at a good cap hit, or the team is willing to also take on Brooks Orpik.
Trade deadline, you know who actually worked out in the trade deadline? I'm thinking now, Daniel Winnick. I honestly wish
you just saying that because his wife.
It's part of it, but. I liked him on this team. I was really upset that they did let him go after last year. I thought he was a solid fourth line guy. I liked him working with Beagle. I thought he did a great job on the ice. So, yeah, his wife's hot. But still, I would have liked to have seen Daniel Winnick stay. I liked him for what he did here. So, yeah.
Winnick wasn't bad. I think that he ended up. They needed to save some money because they re-signed Kuznetsov to too much.
Yeah.
And they had Oshie with a big contract and Orlov, and they still had Orpik, and they had to make some sort of move. And I think, you know, you move out some of those guys and you bring in someone like a Devontae Smith-Pelly or an Alex Chason who end up being cheaper.
Yeah. It's a business. That's what it is. But, yeah. Anything else we should cover in Caps world?
Oh, I sure that made sense. I'm sure there's some stuff. The team announced some of the players will be playing in the alumni game on the morning of March 4th. The teams will be led by Rod Langway and Yvonne LeBray. So some of the alumni will be kind of fun to see. A nice reunion for some of these guys from the 90s with Peter Bondra, Dino Cicerelli, Sylvain Cote, got Craig Lachlan, who you see every Caps game up in the press box, Dennis Marouk, Alan May, Larry Murphy, Michael Pavonka, and Dinis Zubris. So that'll be kind of fun if there's a way to actually watch part of that game and see some of the guys that you used to cheer for in the 90s and early 2000s. It'll be fun to see a guy like Pavonka and Zubris back. Of course, Peter Bondra, Dino Cicerelli, Sylvain Cote, I really liked when I was younger. I'm, you know, no Callie Johansson? Like, what's going on? Why don't we bring him back? That'll be kind of fun. But yeah, I always liked sort of the alumni stuff because it's just kind of fun to see those guys again.
Is Knubel coming back?
Is they? I don't know. He wasn't listed. If they, I have to bring back more guys. I thought it was going to be a really short game.
Yeah.
But I would like to see someone like Callie Johansson, and that'll be fun to watch.
Well, that's good. Always good to have the Caps back, the alumni, and playing at Navy Stadium definitely is going to be something special. Not a lot of people get to say they did that, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
All right, so is that it for Caps World?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good considering we pretty much had a bye week.
Yeah, that's actually like one of the longest segments we've had, so that's pretty cool. All right, so that's it for what's going on in Caps World. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Down on the Farm. But before we go Down on the Farm, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It is Down on the Farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, Hershey did not have a good week, going 0-1-2 since we last talked. Yeah. The Bears are 17-17-6, putting them 6th in the Atlantic Division with 40 points. 9 back of first-place Wilkes-Barre Scranton, though the second-place team has more points, but they've also played 4 more games, so their winning percentage is less, which technically puts Wilkes-Barre Scranton. It was very confusing. That team has more points, but they have less of a winning percentage. So it's very confusing. Anyways, The Bears will be back at it tonight, that being Wednesday, in Springfield, followed up by a home game at the Giant Center on Saturday against Lehigh Valley in the Capital Blue Cross Outdoor Classic. Now, since we've been talking jerseys for so long, let's continue that way. The Bears released their outdoor jerseys, and I got to tell you, Brandon, those are quite nice.
I dig them. I definitely dig those jerseys. They're classics. A little weird with the bear kind of like just kind of chilling at the lower part of the jersey.
Yeah, that's weird.
I kind of feel like you could just kind of whoop, take that right out, and you'd still be fine. But other than that, I'm for them. I like them.
The bear is definitely a bit awkward, and I don't know what it's doing there. but I got to tell you, man, the Caps could really do well to follow in Hershey's lead regarding their jerseys, especially for some of these special games. Another Bears news, defenseman Colby Williams was suspended for 3 games for his hit on Lehigh Valley's Danik Martell from this past Saturday. It was a big hit, but, and you and I were talking about this before, I have a hard time agreeing with the suspension being 3 games. Not that it really matters what I agree with, but it's a shoulder to head, so yeah, I mean, that's bad. And he definitely shouldn't have done that. We're arguing this, but he doesn't leave his skates before hitting him. He definitely does after. So he jumps up into the hit. It easily could have been shoulder to shoulder just to make the play, go after the puck. Not a big deal. It wasn't like the guy didn't have the puck. Martell had literally just played it up the ice before getting hit. So worthy of suspension, yes, 3 games. I have a hard time agreeing with that. I think some of it was because the player got injured pretty well.
There's some blood.
And that's why. Yeah, there was blood. He got injured. I think he broke his jaw. And so I think the AHL looked at that and was like, well, since it was so bad, we have to give him something that makes a point.
Yeah, I kind of agree with the AHL here. 3 games, I kind of think that's fair. This was a nasty hit. If you look at the play in slow motion, like I hate it when people say that, oh, like in retrospect, you know, he should have done this, that, whatever. Well, when you're skating, you know, so many miles per hour, you're not really thinking of I need to do this, this, and this. You're just kind of thinking, like, I need to get to that puck. So, like, I don't think he maliciously, like, his intent was to injure. I think it was for a hit, but that hit, man, like he's low and he springs up. So you could have easily taken your shoulder, gone into the gut or shoulder to shoulder, but you sprung up, you jumped up. He left his feet after he was done hitting, but he still sprung up from like the crouch stance he was in to hit the guy. You can't do that, man. Not a good hit, not a hockey hit, not a clean hit. I'm okay with 3 games. Sucks that he's going to miss the outdoor game. But at the same time, you know, you can't play that kind of hockey.
It's a lesson learned for the young guy.
And, you know, the other player, I mean, that was injured. Good Lord. Like, hopefully he, I mean, I don't think they're saying anything like he won't be able to play again or anything like that. But
yeah, he just broke his jaw. He'll be fine. He's a hockey player.
Yeah, but I agree with the 3 games. Not a good hit, not a smart play. When you're down low like that, you can't spring up. You can't spring up, try to hit a guy, and then leave your feet. Not a good play, in my opinion.
It definitely wasn't a good play. You definitely can go shoulder to shoulder, and you know, hockey players are, he's a young guy, but you have the understanding of where you're supposed to hit someone and where you're not supposed to, and you should have known better.
Yeah. All right, so what you said this weekend's game too at Lehigh Valley? That's the outdoor game that's at Hershey Park Stadium, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I wonder if there's gonna be any fisticuffs at that one.
Ooh, maybe. Very good chance of that happening.
I would imagine that they're gonna be somewhat upset considering what happened just a few days prior.
We'll have to look it up. Weather's gonna be like this weekend in Hershey.
Oh, it's gonna be fiery. Let me tell you. Sorry, that was lame. But yeah, let's head on down to South Carolina. The Stingrays went 2-1 with wins over Atlanta and Jacksonville. Stingrays are 23-9-4, which puts them second in the South Division with 50 points, 9 back of first place Florida. And they'll be back at it with back-to-back games starting on Friday, both games away in Norfolk. Another Stingrays news, forward Tyler Camerata was named the MVP of the ECHL All-Star Classic after a combined 5 goals and 2 assists during the annual game. He scored 2 goals in the first game, followed up with 3 goals and 2 assists in the final game, which they ended up losing in a shootout. But that's what's going on down on the farm.
Let's see. On Saturday, it is going to be sunny in Hershey. high of 49. So that's a little bit warmer than you, you'd expect for a hockey game. Maybe you don't need all the layers. Just a few.
Yeah, you might need a couple.
Yeah. But all right, so go Bears, go Stingrays. Have fun playing outside, Bears. Man, I wish I could go to that game. First year they did it, I actually sold my tickets because it was the year the Ravens won the Super Bowl, and it was Ravens versus Broncos, and it was the Bears game outside. So I sold my tickets because I wanted to watch that Bears-Broncos game so much. So had a chance to go, but didn't the first year. But hey, it's cool. It's become a tradition now up in Hershey, so cool on them. So that's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff going on. Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL? And those mock-ups you're sending me, you're just making it worse.
No, I'm definitely not.
You are.
They
just
look so much better. What are you talking about?
Now they look like candy canes.
Dude, no, they don't.
Like, if they're playing this game on Christmas, then yes, that'd be fine.
If the whole thing looked like that, then I would agree with you.
The shoulder neckline on your second photo where it's all blue and then a white neckline. Okay. That's
cool. You know what? I'm doing this on paint. It's not easy.
I dig that. But the bottom where you got it looking like a candy cane, no sell.
No, dude. Okay, first of all, again, I'm using paint, so give me a break. Okay. It's not freaking easy to do this. Okay. It's number one. Number two, shut up. They look like candy canes, you jerk. Actually, no, I like them. They're much better than what the Caps use now, so bite me. I actually like them. I like them way better. Anyways, the white lines that I've made are all different sizes because, again, I'm using paint. But since going around the NHL, no trades in the past week. Everybody's real quiet right now. A couple teams probably on the bye week. Nobody wants to be calling someone down south and tell – or, you know, down south – when they're down somewhere south and warm. By the way, you no longer play for a team. That'd be real awkward. There was one suspension as Andrew Cogliano of the Anaheim Ducks was suspended 2 games.
Hold on 1 second. Let me just say, bring, bring. Hey, you know how much you love vacationing in Florida? Well, you get to live there now because now you're a Panther. No need to come back to Winnipeg. Thanks a lot.
Maybe lead with that next time.
All right, go ahead.
I was talking about Andrew Cogliano, the Ducks. He got suspended for 2 games for interference on Adrian Kempe. It was definitely interference, but I'm more annoyed with the elbow that came up. It was late, and his was definitely worthy of the suspension. Now, as you mentioned earlier, Carolina's going to have a new owner soon as Dallas businessman Tom Dundon has signed a purchase agreement to buy controlling interest in the team. So we'll see what happens with the new owner there in Carolina. I believe I heard during the broadcast that part of the deal is that he has to keep the team in Carolina for the next 7 years before he allowed to be considered moving them should he decide to do that.
Like to Seattle?
I think they may get a team before that.
Yeah, there's a good chance.
That's besides the point. And finally, the NHL announced that Kid Rock will perform during the second intermission during the All-Star game. So, yeah, that's a thing that's happening.
Oh, my God. It's 1998. My time machine works.
Yeah, seriously. What are we doing, folks?
When was the last time Kid Rock had a hit? Was it like that photograph song with Sheryl Crow?
I don't know.
This is just who thinks they are on the pulse of pop culture when they suggest, hey, I got an idea who should play this game. Kid Rock.
Yeah.
There are enough hockey fans out there that are also in bands that you could do much better than Kid Rock. I mean, I know it's not in San Jose, but Metallica are huge San Jose Shark fans. And they just had an album come out summer of last year. So they're still touring on that album. You can ask Metallica. Now, Metallica probably way more expensive than Kid Rock. I understand that. But at the same time, at least they're like fans of the sport. I don't know. This seems like such a poor booking. Kid Rock? Really?
Yeah.
Kid Rock was really popular when I was 13, and I'm 32 now.
hey, you're the same age as Mike Green. it's interesting. It was an interesting choice.
You know, I would accept Flo Rida instead of Kid Rock, and I'm not a Flo Rida fan, but at least since the All-Star game is in Florida, he would at least make sense.
I don't know. I don't care. Who knows if I'm going to be watching this stupid game.
That Welcome to My House song is really popular with sporting events. Flo Rida could sing it. You know, it would make sense. I'm trying to think, because he might be expensive, too. Like, if he's not a fan of the NHL, I'm trying to think, like, you need someone who is a fan of the NHL who will take a price break by just going, oh, I love hockey. And who isn't Kid Rock.
I don't know. I don't even know if I'll be watching the games. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what bands are still around from when I was a kid, because all I do is listen to podcasts now. So I don't even know somebody from my youth that still is relevant. I really don't. God, that's sad. Ugh. I'm going through a midlife crisis on air. This is really bad.
That is not good.
I don't even know who's got new music out or anything. Does anybody have a new album coming out to promote? I don't know. I got nothing.
I have no idea.
Blue October, they're my favorite band. They have a new song out, but they're from Houston, so they're more, I guess, Dallas Stars fans, maybe? I don't know. All right, well, let's get off of that topic. But Kid Rock, no matter what, Kid Rock, terrible choice for the NHL All-Star Game. I think you said Fits in the Tantrum are opening up the week or something in a concert. That's a way better pickup than Kid friggin' Rock.
Kid Rock, terrible.
All right. Well, that's something you can at me with. If you have a better choice than Kid Rock for the All-Star Game, let me know. I'll even accept Teletubbies. Better choice than the Kid Rock.
You've taken it too far.
All right. Anything else going on around the NHL, or is that it for the show?
No, that's pretty much the news from the past week in the NHL. It's quiet right now.
It is.
Nobody got traded this week. Only one dum-dum got suspended. So.
And you know it can't be Tom Wilson. He was on vacation.
I'll give it time. I'm sure they'll find a reason to suspend him.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things, as well as other sports, talking about Arsenal Football Club, other European football, as well as occasionally American football. Apparently people like to talk about that Minnesota game. I actually missed the end of it because I had my own indoor soccer game happening at the time.
Oh, you missed one, man. That was a good one.
That's what I hear. Stephon Diggs, Maryland. But as well as all sorts of other things going on in the wide world of Twitter, it's at WTP, or I should say sports, not Twitter, at WTP Coach Dan on Twitter. If you like the show, you enjoy what Brandon and I rambling about various things, clothing, fashion, all sorts of things, as well as hockey from time to time. Go ahead and check out the show on Facebook at facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. All sorts of information you get about the show, when we have new ones coming out, other things related to the Washington Capitals, including the crappy stadium jerseys. Go ahead and check us out there on facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Will do. The Dirty Heads, they got a new song coming out. They would be great at the All-Star Game. Great, great choice there. But anyway, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment there. Like Coach Dan said, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. We do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Reporter Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. Now let's go over the games that are going to happen until we talk again. So the Caps are coming back, and they're heading straight to Jersey after their winter break. Who doesn't like to finish off their winter break by going to New Jersey? Welcome back to the world. That game is against the Devils in Jersey, in Newark, at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington locally here. And then on the 19th, Friday, the Caps are back in D.C., up against those Canadiens. Montreal comes to town. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. You can watch it nationally on the NHL Network. Carey Price coming to town. And then on Sunday, the 21st, the Capitals are in D.C. This game will be on broadcast television on NBC, up against the Philadelphia Flyers, and that game starts at 12:30 in the afternoon. So that's a good one. And then we will be back talking about those three games. Caps, live it up now. You had your bye week, and then you got a couple games this month. But, man, if you look forward to February, there is a lot of puck to watch in February. We were complaining about the Caps not playing a lot in January. Oh, they make up for it in February. Good Lord, there's a lot of games to play. So get those points now, boys. It's going to be a rough one coming up. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for joining us. If you are in Maryland, be safe out there. Roads are going to be slick. So take your time. Listen to What the Puck. Enjoy the ride by listening to us. All right, guys, that's it for the show this week. Thank you all so much for listening. Say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.